and was asking why he had skipped bail.
Well, that's absolutely right, and it's a tremendous issue in India. It's something that affects the lives of thousands of people in the city of Bhopal. And yes, we have been seeking to bring Warren Anderson across to India to face legal proceedings there. But then there's an entire legal nightmare which is involved in that process. And it's been continuing in courts in India and courts over here for very long. At the end of the day, the people suffering are the victims of those who've lost so much in the Bhopal gas tragedy.
Okay.
I just wanted to comment on the multinational issue. In South Africa, you know, the media is basically free. There's no government-owned print media, for example. The government only owns broadcast media. For example, there's the South African Broadcasting Corporation, which is the biggest shareholder is government. And then government also owns about 19 radio stations. But there are attempts now by the government to open up the airwaves. There is, for example, a privately owned television station, ETV, and then some satellite stations as well. But when it comes to criticizing multinationals, everyone is free to do so. For example, the multinational pharmaceutical companies have come under a lot of criticism for the high costs of HIV treatment drugs. You know, the Pfizer's, the Glaxo Wellcome, they've come under a lot of criticism, and no one is afraid to criticize because of possible reprisals. You know, you criticize as much as you like, and there's been a lot of campaigning, you know, lobbying by non-governmental organizations and, you know, other organizations against the high cost of these drugs.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have to wrap up fairly soon. Let me reintroduce the panel. Maybe we can get some closing thoughts because we do have to do some national stuff, and Amy needs to give folks a preview of what she'll be doing nationally at 9 a.m. We've been speaking to Zoltan Mikesh of Daily Pravda from Slovak Republic, Vishnu Som of Star News in India, and Intiaki Petros. And I'm going to ask you to give the proper full pronunciation of your name at this point. You work for Business Daily in South Africa. Get us straight on this on your name, please.
The full name is Nunkyakyambo, which means flower in Xhosa.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you all very, very much for joining us. You're just part of a delegation of international journalists who are working through the UN Department of Public Information. And I believe some, if not all of you, are going to be part of a group who are going to come back and visit us off-air as early as next week, I think. We're going to try to make this happen. I'd like to thank you all for joining us this afternoon on WBAI. Now, Amy, before we move, you want to give folks a preview of what's coming up at 9.
Well, we're going to start off by going down to Washington. There are increasing protests against the imminent war with Iraq. Not to say that the U.S. hasn't been bombing Iraq for the last 10 years, but the intensification of that bombing. People have taken their protests to the streets and inside Congress in the last few days as Rumsfeld was testifying, Medea Benjamin, and Diane Wilson, the protester who met with Warren Anderson, unfurled a banner against war with Iraq and were taken out by security from the congressional hearing room where Rumsfeld was beating the drums for war. Now they're taking it, I believe, the protests to the congressional leaders, Democrat and Republican alike, who are saying that they will support a resolution that supports war with Iraq. We're then going to play an excerpt of a tape of Matthias Reis, the man who has confessed to the rape of the Central Park jogger. We all know what happened to the five young men from Harlem who were put away for years, convicted of that crime, but it turned out that in January, another person, completely unrelated, confessed. They did a DNA test and found, in fact, he was the rapist. They had never connected the DNA they had tested with any of the young men who were put in prison. And so Michael Warren, who is the attorney for some of the families, will be joining us. We will be playing an excerpt of that tape where Matthias Reis says he understands that his DNA was linked to the crime. And we're going to talk about forced confessions because a number of the young men, quote, confessed. Well, what does that mean? We'll speak with Steve Drizin in Chicago Also, the Chicago Tribune has done a series on forced confessions. Then we're going to play an excerpt of the documentary Unprecedented, put out by the Los Angeles Independent Media Center, Joan Seckler and Robert Perez, about the 2000 coup, or was it an election, or was it a selection? And it looks at the immediate history right before the year 2000 in Florida, what Jeb Bush was doing around affirmative action, what the response of the state was when there was an increase, a considerable increase of, say, 100,000 African-American voters in a major voter registration drive, and how the state responded and how ultimately that led to the selection of George Bush as president. So that's all coming up. We're also going to follow up on a story of what some have called the Palestinian cleavers in Houston, Texas. This family that came to Houston, Palestinian family, 11 years ago, started distributing flags. They have a flag distribution company, American Flag Distribution Company. And this past March, the father and the older son was taken into custody after 911. This week, they were told they're going to be deported today, the entire family of nine. It turns out in March, some family members died in Jordan, and so a lot of family came to visit them at their home, and a lot of Palestinian family members, which led the authorities to come to their house, rather a gathering of Palestinians, and arrest the father and the older son. Well, now there has been a stay of deportation because of national protest and because Congress members got involved, as well as Senator Kennedy. And we'll get the latest on that. So that's all coming up at 9.
Okay. The Cleaver's references to June and Ward?
Yes.
Okay. And Wally and the View. Okay. Very good.
The All-American Palestinian Family.
All right. Amy Goodman in Democracy Now! Coming to WBAI, 9 o'clock sharp. We're a little behind schedule, so we're going to give you some music and move into our final segment for today. Again, thank you to all our esteemed journalists. Stay tuned. This is WBAI New York. once again, thank you to Mama Cassé. Mama Cassé is the band from Niger, and this from Ala Taoumi from the World Village label. Came through town, did the band under the auspices of World Music Institute just a few days ago. I'm joined right now by a longtime WBAI supporter and activist. This is part of our mandate from the National to try to keep listeners up to speed on changes and revisions in the WBAI system of bylaws. It has been difficult to get hold of people since one of the things that we wanted to do is to try to hear about one of the other models, various models for representation and participation of the listenership in Los Angeles. Donna Gould, you're with us right now. Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. I'm going to keep trying to reach our colleague in Los Angeles to get some perspective on it, but right now it's all yours.
Okay.
at this point, a lot of folks, the first question that I'm getting from listeners who are less involved than you are is some idea of what the timeline is and how fast some of these differences can be hashed out. Can you start there and then we can go into some of the specifics?
Well, I think that these differences were supposed to be hashed out this weekend, but I know that there are a lot of people in the different listening areas who've been working on this who are concerned that this is too soon and that there really has not been time to consider not only the five proposals that are on the grid that the IPND is going to consider this weekend, but other proposals as well that aren't on the grid. So there's a push for extending the time that listeners and board members, both IPNB and local advisory board members, have to consider the different proposals.
Okay, and by IPNB, this is the Interim Pacifica National
right,
Board, headed
right.
by Alyssa Kagan. So in other words, that we could come out of this board meeting in Houston, Texas, and find that what was thought to be a process that could be coming into focus very quickly might go on another 6 months or more?
Well, I don't know. Maybe not 6 months, maybe 2 months or 3 months. You know, it's hard to tell. It just seems like we need more time.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about some of the perspectives that you've brought to these discussions, at least in New York. Now, there are various models coming out under various names, all of them sharing the same intention, which is to allow listeners a greater sense of representation in the very management of the network and of the station. It seems that everyone agrees on that. It's how do you do it and who defines a listener? Seems to be one of the simple sticking points, but there must be others.
Well, I'm not even sure that I think that everyone agrees on what you just said, because I think that...
Here I go being naive again.
Oh, that's okay. I think that the major difference between the proposals that the board is looking at this weekend, they're looking at five proposals, and as far as I'm concerned, the major difference is between the proposal from WPFW by Rob Robinson and the other four proposals, because I don't believe that he gives much increase in listener empowerment or listener involvement in his proposal.
And what about the others?
Well, the others do, yes. Mm-hmm. And I would say that the proposal that was done in Los Angeles called the Unity Proposal, which is not part of the grid, gives even more involvement and listener empowerment than the ones that are being considered. So there's sort of, as far as I'm concerned, there are kind of three clusters. There's Rob Robinson's proposal. Then there are the other four proposals from Texas, Berkeley, and two from Los Angeles. That's a cluster. And then there's the other proposal from Los Angeles, the newest proposal, the Unity Proposal, which is a third grouping because of the extent of the listener empowerment in that proposal.
Mm-hmm. And again, we have been hoping to make contact with someone out in Los Angeles to try to get an on-the-ground assessment of what's called the Unity Proposal. Perhaps Donna Gould, I will try one more time to get that person on the line with us. But Can you give us some more information about Houston and about the discussions that are happening? Or rather, let me be, often when listeners and people like me hear these discussions, we're hearing about how various boards will be composed. And then very late in the discussion comes the issue of what will the responsibilities of that board be? It seems that all of this idea of representation is fine, but
right.
People would be much more committed and interested or disinterested if there was a consensus on exactly what this board would be doing and how empowered would it be.
You're talking about the local boards.
Yeah, the local boards.
I mean, right.
The extent to which they would be managing and signing off on various internal issues within the station. Is there, I don't believe there's a consensus on that either, is there?
Well, again, the difference is more between the Washington proposal, which calls them advisory boards, continues to call them advisory boards, and the other proposals, which call them station boards, I believe. And in the other four proposals, they are given all of the powers under the whatever act it is that creates nonprofit corporations. They're given all those powers with the exception of that the national board has power when there's a danger that the mission isn't being, I hope I'm saying this right, that the mission is not being observed or financial problems. By and large, those four proposals give a lot of power to the local boards in terms of taking part in selecting the station manager, the program director. This is not across them, but I'm just trying to generalize. In terms of the approval of the budget, and in terms of firing as well as hiring, evaluating and firing and hiring the station manager, and in some cases the program director as well.
But these boards would be part of a larger body. It wouldn't be the sole responsibility of the board to sign off on a budget to hire a GM or anything like that. There would still be hiring committees, right?
Well, I can't really generalize. It's different for different proposals, and I can't answer that question. I mean, in some cases, it's with it's done with the national board or with a committee. You know, in the station area that might have listeners on it. It's different for different proposals, but the way you can generalize it is that all of them give considerable powers to the local board in terms of all those functions.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're speaking to Donna Gould, and Donna Gould has... are you officially part of an elections committee, or have you...
I'm just a listener that's been a listener activist, and I've been part of the bylaws committee in New York.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to be covering this and hearing there much about bylaws in the Houston meeting, which, by the way, we will commence broadcasting from Houston this meeting tonight, beginning at around 7:30, maybe even a few minutes earlier. The first session will also be a significant portion of Saturday and at least a few hours on Sunday. We'll be hearing financial reports from the various stations, the five Pacifica stations, but we are expecting to hear extensive conversation about these issues of bylaws. And you can hear it right here on WBAI. Now, Donna Gould, I want to apologize, first of all. This is the first time that I've been involved in one of these shows where I have had only one representative on, so I don't want to lay too much upon you. But we do want to take some calls and get some ideas from the listenership. A lot of people who are involved in this process are listening right now, and we would appreciate their contributions at this time. Before we do that, are there other things that you want to bring to the fore haven't?
I can talk about the Los Angeles Unity proposal if you...
I would very much appreciate you doing that because I just tried a second time to reach that guest in L.A.
Uh-huh.
Where it is 21 minutes past 5, and I think she's I think she's getting some much needed rest. If you could give us a précis of the Unity model coming out of Los Angeles,
okay.
We'd appreciate it quite a bit.
I will do that. It was based on Carol Spooner's model, which came from Berkeley, and what they did was they had a convention in Los Angeles, a bylaws convention that included people from the Los Angeles Bylaws Committee and some people from their local advisory board and some people from other listener organizations, and they came together, this was quite recently, and managed to hammer out a proposal that they could all agree on, people who had not agreed previously. So I want to just tell you what I think are the major ways that this proposal departs from Carol Spooner's proposal, because that's really the basis of it. But it's different from it in certain ways.
Please do.
And the ways have to do a great deal with listener empowerment, and these are the specifics, ways in which it differs. First of all, there's a it includes a provision for a monthly two-hour program to discuss specific governance matters. It has a Bill of Rights for listeners. It doesn't call it that, but that's what I call it, which includes that listeners can attend all board meetings and speak, that they can add, this is local board meetings, station board meetings, that they can add items to station board meetings, that the station board meetings are recorded and available to them, that there will be a monthly report to listeners by the local program council, that there will be reports on fundraising, a report of the station budget, including salaries, except in cases where that can't be done for some reason. That there'll be a regular monthly program of unscreened call-ins, and that each station will hold monthly town hall meetings. So none of those things are in Spooner's proposal, and they do substantially extend the empowerment of listeners. The other difference, a couple of other differences are that the Unity proposal from Los Angeles calls for the listeners to directly elect the national board members from among the local board members. This, in other words, there's direct election of the national board members rather than an indirect method, which is what the other proposals have, the national board members elected by the local board, local station board members. So that's a substantial difference.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one other difference, which is that the Unity proposal from Los Angeles calls for a bylaws convention no later than 2004 to review and revise the bylaws.
That's assuming the bylaws are actually passed and adopted before 2004.
Yes, I hope they will be. Now, there are a couple of other differences that I want to mention also, which don't have to do with listener empowerment. One is that that proposal gives very little representation to the staff. There is only one staff representative on the local board, and there was a minority report about this, however. Not everybody agreed to this. Dave Adelson put in a minority report making an argument for more staff representation. And that's the main other difference that I see, is around staff representation. So that about sums up what I think are the ways that this proposal is different from any of the proposals that the board has on their five proposal matrix.
Donna Gould, you made reference to the grid, includes not all but many of these various models for governance. What is the website upon which people can find that?
It's on WBAI.net.
Mm-hmm.
And if they look under, it's listed. I don't know where to look under, but it's right there. It's easy to find.
Okay. We're going to take advantage of the time that we have, Donna Gould, and I'd like to keep you on the line if I could.
Sure.
Since there are a number of people who are calling, Our phone number here is area code 212-209-2900. Again, those of you who have heard these broadcasts, and we are mandated to do 2 hours per week on this issue. We are trying to keep these lines open, and we can do this for about 30 minutes, a little less than 30 minutes. A few provisos. Understand that this is not a report to the listener. This is not about your feelings about programming or this or that aspect of programming. This is about models of governance and how listeners are to be represented. The structure that allows for that, and various proposals. So I'm going to ask that you please do that, and speak directly to those issues as I bring you to the air. Again, our number is area code 212-209-2900. And Donna, I'm going to ask you to hold on, and we'll go directly to this caller. Good morning. You're on WBAI.
Good morning. I'd like to ask why. I'd like to ask why there are no proposals from WBAI.
Sure, I don't mind answering that. Well, it just turned out that way. You know, it was not specifically asked that each station area do a proposal. And what we did was to go over the proposals as they came out and talk about what we thought were the most significant points. And we also suggested some things ourselves, which got incorporated into the Berkeley proposal. So you can't really tell that they're part of our proposal, but they originally were. For instance, one of the things that got incorporated was that the local the station board would hold public meetings 4 times a year, at which listeners, which would be primarily devoted to listener input to the station board. That came from WBAN, got incorporated into the Berkeley proposal, and there are a number of other things as well.
Well, is there some way that the BAI community is represented? There's a way that we have a voice that we have said, well, this is what we like better? Because it seems you're saying from other areas.
Oh, yes. Yes,
it's represented as, well, this is what this area
right,
has come together and recommended.
Right. At the meeting today, each one of the areas will make a report, and at that report, people from the WBAI Bylaws Committee will summarize our work. In addition to that, there is a proposal, unfortunately also called the Unity Proposal, which was worked on by a group of people in New York, which is very different from the other proposals in terms of election procedures and who can be elected and who can vote, and that proposal will also be presented.
Okay, I have just one more question. Is these bylaws or how the new PMB is going to be selected?
Well, that's part of it. It's how the PMB will be selected. It's how the local boards will be selected. It's what are the respective powers of the national board and the local boards, and what avenues listeners have to information and to participating in decisions. So they're quite complex.
Right, but as far as the election of the PMB segment.
Oh, definitely. That's definitely part of it, yes.
If there is a timetable, you mentioned a delay. If there is a delay, would that mean that there might be a delay in selection of the new
yes.
board?
Yes.
So that means the interim board would continue longer?
Yes. But I believe that we would have to go to court to get the judge who was the judge in the settlement to agree to that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, caller. The number here at WBAI, talking bylaws again, 212-209-2900. And you're on the air. Donna Gould, who's been working on these issues, one of the many, is with us also on the line. Good morning.
Good morning. My question is, do the people that listen to BAI, are they entitled to have some input on the bylaws?
Well, I think this is what this is all about, Donna.
Right. Well, they have been. The people that have been working in the different committees in each one of the listening areas have been having input on the bylaws, and people have been calling in to the programs on the bylaws having input, but if what you mean is with this current set of bylaws, will they be put to the listeners to agree to, the answer to that is no. However, in the proposals that are being considered, future bylaws, in at least a number of the proposals, future bylaws will have to be agreed upon by the listeners. Does that answer your question?
Well, I was hoping the first one would be the correct answer, but I guess you already answered that we really don't have no input as far as the decision-making.
Well, I wouldn't say we have no input because
you do, but we don't.
No, we do, because the listeners are drafting proposals and reacting to proposals. I mean, this has been going on for 5 months.
But when it's put out to the public has no say-so.
Well, not... I understand what you mean, yes, in terms of, like, asking people now, everybody's going to vote on this, and do you agree to this, and do you agree to this? Or
that's the Democratic way.
Right. No, in that sense, the public does not.
Another question.
Yeah.
On those bylaws, do they have being inputted into those bylaws about the past workers that worked there that people would like to support, maybe if they could come back? If I could mention names like Ms. Moore, Mistress Lee,
my understanding is that bylaws, at this point, the bylaws are not about specific actions to be taken in specific instances.
Right.
It's about providing a structure by which these things could be addressed. I think that's a sense. And caller, I'm going to let you go, but I just want to let you know that Donna Gould is a listener. She's not a paid consultant or anything else. And there are regular meetings continuing every Tuesday evening at 6:30. Donna, will there be one this Tuesday with everyone getting back from Houston?
I'm not sure, but there certainly will be one the next Tuesday.
Okay, there will be one the next Tuesday.
They're announced.
And they are announced, and that is at the 14th floor of the Varick and Canal Street building. We'll always give you that address. You can always call our switchboard and get that address. And caller, your participation there is welcomed.
Right, definitely.
Okay, we're going to move on to the next call. This is WBAI. I'm Matthew Finch here with Donna Gould, who's been working on bylaws, and perhaps you have as well. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Bob from New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't read through all of the various bylaws proposals, but I wanted to ask if you could compare them in terms of how they empower the staff. I get worried that we're empowering the listeners and not the staff and the producers.
Right. Well, there's representatives on the station board elected by the staff in all of the proposals, I believe, that the difference is how many staff representatives there are relative to how many listener representatives, and that varies. But I believe that in the proposal from Berkeley, Carol Spooner's proposal, which is sort of the proposal that everybody's organizing themselves around, I think it's one staff representative to two listener representatives, that's the ratio. In the new proposal from Los Angeles, the Unity proposal, it's much lower. Was I clear?
Yeah, thank you. That's what I wanted to know.
Okay.
Thank you very much. And we're going to take the next call, WBAI New York. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I'd like to bring up what the gentleman before the last gentleman brought up. Could you give us the view? The people that are going to pass these bylaws are from the five stations, but politically they seem to be different. Can you give us your point of view of how the Washington and Texas and Los Angeles stations might be a little more conservative than like BAI? I mean, the drama is there on who of what bylaws are going to be passed. Do you have can you say a few words about that?
Well, first of all, I want to say that the bylaws are going to be passed by the interim Pacifica National Board. That's who's going to pass. They were given the settlement of the lawsuit gave them the power to approve the bylaws, except for the fact that the three out of five of the local boards have to approve the bylaws that have to do with the local boards. So they aren't going to be really approved by the listeners of the station, of the five stations. But in terms of the differences between the five stations, I mean, certainly there are differences. Berkeley has already had two elections of their local station board. So they are further along in the in this democratization process than any of the rest of us are. And since the political content of the Washington and the Texas station had been very badly decimated by what's gone on for the last 10 years, those the listeners to those areas are, well, we don't know. We think that they're more interested in music and less interested in politics, but we don't really know that. Maybe if they had more political programs, they'd be very interested in those. There have been a lot of...
But Donna, wouldn't, I mean, this is just practical programming here. If you, people will, in general, want more of what you give them.
Uh-huh, right.
So there it is.
Yeah, I believe that. I think that, and I know that the programming in Texas has changed a great deal, and there's been a lot of support for that station. When they did their fund drive, they did very well. So I don't assume that just because a station didn't have a certain kind of programming that people wouldn't support it if they had it. I quite agree with you, Matthew. Yes.
All right, thank you. We're going to take a we're operating at a bit of a loss here personnel-wise, so I'm trying to do three or four things at once. Let me bring another caller to the air. If I could just add, Donna, to what you said, this is one of the reasons why folks could do worse than try to listen to some of the proceedings in Houston over these airwaves over during the weekend. Because you will finally get a chance to hear some of the textures, political textures of the various stations, just as on those occasions when the network itself does national programming bouncing among the five stations plus affiliates. People get to hear the different styles and orientations of the various representatives of Pacifica. It's always an education, even if sometimes it sounds a little droney, but you do not. You're on the air. If you want to contribute, Donna Gould is here. Good morning.
Good morning. It's Sandra. Just think, if you're doing two or three jobs, it might keep you out of trouble. Putting aside my ambivalence, and is there something specifically written into the bylaws that can prevent another Christmas coup that happened at WBAI? Is there going... a mechanism specifically written in so that a station manager and program director can be removed?
Yes.
Good. And is there any way to spell out what they are? And you're doing pretty good, Matthew.
Thank you, Sandra. So, actually, this is important, an important issue. The recall question, Donna Gould, mm-hmm. What are those mechanisms?
Well,
in the various models?
Yeah, there's several ways that... a station manager can be removed. One is by the national board. If the national board, if in their opinion, they have the ultimate authority to remove a station manager who's not acting in accord with the mission. That's usually how it's put. The station board also has the power to remove the station manager. The listeners don't, but since the listeners elect the station board, the station board is answerable to the listeners. I mean, that's the avenue
right.
The listeners have for affecting the station board.
And of course, no general manager could have the effrontery of barring access to the station by the local advisory board.
Oh, no.
That would be one's ticket out.
Right, absolutely.
Okay. Let's go on to another caller here. Good morning, you're on WBAI. Funny line. Good morning, you're on WBAI.
Hi, good morning. I think you sort of started to answer my question. Is there going to be a structure, or it is in the description that you laid out, is there going to be some rule set that will be pretty simple, basic rules, without over-intellectualizing it, which I think too much of that is going on. Mm-hmm. Not enough basic street hands, working hands kind of language is being laid out.
Mm-hmm.
If a station manager or program director breaks certain rules, will there be an easier structure for people, even the public and staff, to bring them up on charges and get them moved on and get somebody else in there?
Well, first of all, yes, because
let me add one thing. To avoid the day-to-day click coup that could go on day-to-day internally. Okay.
Not sure I know what you mean by that.
If there's a clique that's sort of gathered together and learned how to circumvent the new rules and things, I mean, what I would like to see laid out is some basic, very strong rules that if you go against what has been put forth or elected to keep things even for everyone in the whole Pacifica Foundation and affiliates,
mm-hmm.
that the public can notice someone's going off of these things and the staff, and that charges could be brought up, if, you know, and mm-hmm. get them disbarred or moved on and get somebody else put in there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't, that, those rules are not written into the bylaws. They will be written into a set of rules that, like you're describing, just for that purpose. They'll be called station rules and procedures or something like that. But because the listeners have, some of these proposals have regular meetings where they can give input to the station board, because the station board has more power in terms of, the review and the firing of the station manager, all of that, those are all protections against things happening that shouldn't happen.
Let me add one thing, and then I'll hang up and listen. Is there some sort of structure set up that it could be an open, people can monitor this, especially the listeners, of a rating system which shows that if it has to be made public, if they're not pulling in certain ratings and raising certain money, that could be a great sign after a certain a period of time that the show is not supported greatly and something else should be programmed in that slot?
Are you talking about individual programs?
Well, make it known at the fundraising that certain shows pulled in so much and actually... Not donated, but actually what actually came in 6 months later mm-hmm. to that show, you know, is there a way people talk about this, but they're no different than other organizations where it's sort of shrugged off. And I brought this up at one of the meetings down at Varick Street, and a couple of people laughed to try to get that information, sure.
Matthew, do you want to talk about that? Because I have something to say about it, but you might too.
Well, it is first of all, it is a very inexact science, the science of fundraising and individual fundraising. If I come on a program after one of the stronger fundraising shows, let's say I come on the air to fundraise at 10 o'clock or 10:15 in the morning, there is often an overflow from what has happened between 9 and 10 o'clock, so there's a wake-up call momentum, then there's a Democracy Now! Momentum. I become the beneficiary of that in terms of dollars, just overflow monies that come in that I wouldn't get if I were on at, say, 3 o'clock in the afternoon or 2 o'clock in the afternoon or 10 o'clock in the evening. Now, does that money mean the program is more valuable or is more supported? It is never that simple. The science of money and how money comes in and how and what people give for is a very vague thing, and there's nothing exact to it. Just as there is no exactitude to Arbitron ratings, it's only there for measurement purposes, for comparison purposes. There's no science that we can take from either of those things in terms of how we would plan a schedule. I don't know what feelings you want to add to that, Donna.
Well, I think that there's a lot of criticism by people of the idea of basing, having somebody have a program on how much money they pull in, for the reason that there are programs which are very valuable to, maybe very valuable to a relatively small number of people who can't get that kind of program anyplace else in commercial radio or public radio, and people feel that that's important for them to be able to get that program, even if they're a small number of people. And we resist the idea of making it, doing it like everybody else and saying if you make pull in more money, then you belong there, and if you pull in less money, you don't belong there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I feel about it.
Well, it's a very inexact science, and what internally, this is a little far afield from bylaws issues, to a better mechanism for evaluating programs. It's one of the things that, in fact, the Program Council has been working to implement. All of these processes are very slow, however, and this leads to some other questions that if there were more time, I would have. But I want to continue with our listeners. We're speaking with Donna Gould, who has been one of a number of tireless workers who have been out there every Tuesday and online and all over trying to work through these bylaws revisions as this station and the network for which it stands comes into a new day, and you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi. I just wanted to mention something that I heard a while back, and it's something I had an idea about. I was listening a long time ago when Gary Noll was on the air, and he had something to say about Amy Goodman and her trying to solicit funds and whatnot, and it's not fair to other shows, and there seems to be some kind of discrepancy. And I was just curious if there couldn't be some kind of understanding that, you know, like Gary Noll and maybe like Armand Zemil, even though they have great shows, I love them both, you know, they have a business outside of the show, which the show actually to some degree, even though they don't make money directly, indirectly, helps their business and helps them actually make funds, you know, for their own living and their daily expenses and things, where... Democracy Now! Provides a great human service. I mean, it's in my opinion, one of the best shows on the air, but I really think that there's a certain service of political that, you know, that Amy Goodman's really not going to make a lot of money on.
Well, wait a minute. There is a distinction in as much as when it comes to Democracy Now!, you're talking about a paid staff, a salaried staff, and a salaried host. The other two hosts that you talk about work on a volunteer basis. What I would suggest are two things, and this is an issue that I think is, and Donna, correct me if I'm wrong, will be increasingly addressed by this national board and by various bylaws, is exactly the nature of commercial, non-commercial. Who owns the program we're doing right now? Who owns the program? Who owns that tape? Can I sell that tape? Does the station get anything back if I sell that tape? That's a policy issue that has to be hammered out and has to be applied consistently.
Well, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it was just my thought that to produce Democracy Now! May cost money in terms of flying different places, the travel expenses, sometimes to find somebody may be fairly difficult. To me, it just seems that there may even be more expense even involved in simply producing the show as well as the salaried staff, in addition to, where it's still a public service that's very needed.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand? So I honestly feel that, to some degree, if the situation warrants it or the producer can prove the service that they're providing and the expenses involved, and, you know, the station deems that this is necessary and, yes, it does, you know, it does bring in listeners, and it does increase our ratings, and, you know, it does provide a service which we, you know, feel that the airwaves need because maybe it's not really out there anywhere else. To some degree, maybe there can be some kind of understanding that after a certain approval, yes, this is allowed, and anyone who wants to can go to this, I don't know what you want to call it, a board or a person, and request, you know, a hearing or some kind of investigation. I don't know. I'm a little nervous on the radio, but I think you might get the gist of what I'm trying to say. There's some way, if a producer can prove their expenses and what it costs and what they're providing, and, you know, and the station agrees that, yes, this is something that we need. It is something we want to produce. It is something we want out on the air. Yes, you do have a right to go and solicit funds, or you do have a right to sell it. Because, you know, maybe to get the better stories and to get the things that we really want to hear, that money may be very important. Where other producers, maybe they can do it right from their office, or they're doing other things and they're on the road, and it's just like an extra thing they do.
I hear your point, but again, as just as you were explaining it, you can see how fuzzy those lines can become. The crucial issue, again, to me, is that one's relationship, all of us who are on air, and by the way, there are it is only very, very recently, relatively, that the idea of paid talent has even existed at this station, and we're only talking about one or two people. Most everybody who is on the air is paid not to be on the air. I mean, those of us who are paid, we're paid to be bureaucrats, we're paid to be news reporters, paid to be, to do operations work. We're not actually paid to be the hosts. But a relationship with WBAI or with Pacifica that is based upon personal profit is not a relationship that we should have to have. The relationship should be one of service. Those people who do get paid, I can say from experience, it's not much of a living wage, especially if you have children. That's a complex issue, but I think that is an issue that is going to come into focus in Houston, and I think people will be addressing it. My only hope is that whatever is arrived at is something that can actually be applied on the ground to the way people are actually functioning, and that it's consistent. Donna, do you want to add anything to that?
Well, I wanted to add something in terms of the I don't want to add something to that. I want to add something to something else, to go back to the previous call.
Please go ahead.
Something I haven't talked about, but you mentioned, which is the program councils. And there is the issue of program councils and their being more active. And I know in New York, there is an effort now to make the program council more active, and hopefully when there's an elected station board, one of the functions of that station board will be to assess listener needs, and based on that assessment, to make input into the program council. So that's rather than Arbitron ratings or how much money people raise. That's another way of finding out what kind of programs people want and how they feel about the programs that they're getting.
Very good point. I think we have time for one more call, and we will select you for Radio Immortality. Good morning. You're on the air with Donna Gould of WBAI.
Yes, hi. Thank you very much. I'd like to expand a little on one of your previous caller's points. I've always been a big supporter of the progressive side of WBAI. And I'm not a supporter of Gary Null and Kathy Davis and some of the other people who I consider.
I would ask you. You can make your point, but I.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You
sure.
Don't need to be
sure.
Calling names out now.
Okay.
One.
Anyway. However, having said that, as a contributor, I'm quite concerned about what I've heard is the essential privatization of democracy now, and I was wondering if you're. A guest has anything to say about that, because as a contributor to a station which desperately needed funds, I'd like not to believe that Amy, say, is being paid $400,000-$600,000 a year.
I don't believe that is correct.
Oh,
I think the program, the costs of the program may amount to a significant amount of money over a significant period of time, but the mere concept that Amy Goodman is receiving that kind of money into her bank account is preposterous. Believe me, it's preposterous.
Oh, okay.
You know, if she had that sort of money, she'd be wearing much finer clothes. She dresses just like the rest.
Right.
Of her.
Okay. Well, that's great. I misunderstood then.
I'm glad for you to take correction. Thank you very much. Donna, we're just about done, but I want to leave. We're just about done. I want to leave the last word for you. Certainly, just to speak to what that last caller said, the revision of relationship, I think, is maybe the best way to put it, between Democracy Now! And Pacifica is an issue that will be addressed, I suspect, in Houston. Personally, I'm not sure there was any choice but to revise that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I would also point out that some of the very people who criticized my colleague for this relationship might very well have been criticizing Democracy Now for doing television. You know, if Pacifica, what is a radio station doing funding a television feed? That would be the kind of criticism. This is an entity, Democracy Now, that has now a video aspect to it. How is that to be funded? I'm not sure there were a whole lot of choices available. Donna, if you could take the last word, please.
On this topic?
Whichever you please.
Well, I don't want to take the last word on this topic because it's something I really haven't followed. But I do want to urge people to tune in to the broadcast of the meetings in Houston and to come to the bylaws meetings and participate in those. I mean, bylaws are really very interesting, even though they come sometimes in off-putting language. They're very important because they have to do with all the methods that we're trying to construct to prevent what happened before from happening again. And that's my last word.
All right. Well, I'm very glad that you woke up early and joined us solo. Donna Gould, you can find her most Tuesday afternoons on Merrick Street as part of the ongoing discussions of bylaws. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Okay, thank you.
All right, and the aforementioned Democracy Now!, the national show, will be coming your way in just a few moments. I will be back in the work I'm supposed to do here as a producer, and that is the City in Exile program at 2 o'clock with segment producer Harry Allen, among our guests, the voice that you heard at about 6:30 this a.m., the novelist now, Alexander Heyman. We're going to close with something new.
Hey, Johnny, I want to say hi, and I'm sorry we can't be there, but that's just the way it is. I want to sing you one of your songs about trains. I used to sing that song before I ever wrote a song, and I also want to thank you for standing up for me way back when. Train of love is a-coming, big black wheels a-humming, people waiting at the station, happy hot shots loving. Hey now, tell me baby, ain't you got my baby? Every soul in the night is baby, gets me a strong.
Came in with it, we go out with it from the brand new Kindred Spirits, a tribute to the songs of Johnny Cash. 601, we played one from Kev Mo, this from Bob Dylan. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! This is WBAI New York.
Love is a leader,